So how many of you guys do not like roller coasters? Just raise your hand if you're like, no roller coasters for me. Okay, that's fine. But here's the beauty of this little activity. You can imagine the roller coaster you would like. You know, maybe you like Sunday slow drives and eating chocolate cake. That can be on your roller coaster. So the roller coaster of your dreams is of your dreams. And so we do this, and we imagine when we do this, and we imagine, you know, maybe it's fast, maybe it's crazy, maybe it's slow, whatever. Maybe you get wet, maybe it's 800 feet tall. I don't know. Now, to make this a little more fun, usually there's no physics, and the laws of physics do not apply. Gravity does not come into play. To be wildly imaginative, let's just think outside of the realm of normal and possible. And so we do this, and I kind of thought it would be fun for a minute or so to let us do this. And so I'm going to have you talk to the person next to you. If you can make the roller coaster of your dreams, if you were going to dream wildly, be wildly imaginative, what would that roller coaster include? Okay? And so I'm going to have you talk for about 30, 60 seconds, somewhere in that range, to the person next to you. Come up with a couple good ideas. Ready? Go. Okay. Any other really good ideas? Does anybody want to go underwater? That's kind of a normal one. There's a lot of crazy ideas. And here's the thing. Like I said, this little activity, it helps us get the dream juices flowing a little bit. And this morning, I want to talk about us. When I say us, I mean us, right? This church. What are we dreaming about? What should we be dreaming about? And when I talk about us, I mean, what does that mean for you specifically, for me specifically? And I'll just say this, if you're new with us, or maybe if this is your first time, you're going to get to hear a little bit more ground level, foundational stuff of who we are today. Because I want to talk, since we're talking about dreaming wildly, we've been focusing really a lot on you and me individually. But what about us collectively? What does that have to do? And so before I go further, I just want to say this is going to be a little bit different message because I want to share a couple dreams for us. And I have a couple. I'll just throw them on the screen. This is not really crazy, okay? Developing a deeper hunger and thirst for God and maturing as the body of Christ. Really compelling stuff, right? I almost say it like ho-hum, but they don't really get us going like maybe building a roller coaster might. But I want us to stay with something for a little bit this morning. I want to read a couple of scriptures to get us started. Actually, I'm going to have you read this first one. If you throw that up there from Matthew 5, 6, just read that to yourself. Inside this passage are two words that are really, they come alive in me. There's something deep down in the recesses of my soul about the words hunger and thirst. It's something that I desire to have when it comes to my relationship with Christ. Let's just read this passage aloud together. Will you guys read it with me? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I want to put another passage on screen to you. I'm going to read this one for us. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you, I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This passage is one that you would say, this is some cry of someone's heart, isn't it? This is a cry from someone's heart. This is a desperate sort of vision, and you can even call it a dream of someone, that they would hunger and thirst, that my soul thirsts for you, which begs me to consider something. If you just read this first verse, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land. That passage is begging me to consider something. Does my soul thirst for God? Do I hunger for the presence of God? Isn't it begging that of you to ask yourself that question? And of course, this is a dream. Of course, we would dream that we would have a hunger and thirst for God. This makes so much sense. But I have to be honest with you, I'm struggling with how to actually develop a sense of hunger within us. I mean, how do you develop hunger in us? Think about it. I mean, do we starve one another? No, maybe. How do we become thirsty? How do our souls thirst for God? There's a strange reality when it comes to the way the kingdom works, that essentially actually being filled up by God is actually how we somehow, strangely, in an upside down way, become hungry. Isn't that interesting? Because in a physical sense, we'd have to empty ourselves in order to become hungry, but in a spiritual sense, it's something backwards. And this is how the God's kingdom works. God's kingdom usually works in a backward sort of upside down way. For example, what does he say? The least will become the greatest. The last shall be first, right? The broken will be made whole. Death actually brings life. It's always backwards. It's always upside down. It doesn't quite go the way the world goes. And somehow filling ourselves up with the presence of God, the power of God, his spirit, it actually develops a deeper sense of hunger and thirst. And I've been talking with our team about this. Like, how do we do this in our church? How do we develop a sense of hunger and thirst? And we talked, it goes everything from the way we choose worship songs to the way we lead people to the way we, what we teach about. I mean, it's, you can see that everything has to have sort of a flavor of growing ourselves with hunger and thirst. But there's an idea that's kind of the intangibles. There's more of a tangible idea that I couldn't quite kick, and I've not been able to kick it for some time, that I feel like we should step into. And I've been dreaming for our church to grow as worshipers and prayers and people who are open to God's spirit to move. And I pause on that to say, I've been dreaming that our people, that our church would grow as worshipers, as prayers, and people who are open to God's spirit. Because I need to grow in this. I desire that. I want to worship more passionately and genuinely. I want to pray more desperately. I want to engage God's spirit more humbly. I want that. And I assume you do, right? Right? Right. Sure we do. Well, this summer, we're going to create something, and this is the idea that I couldn't kick. To not just create, it won't create it, but it's something that we want to try to grow this. I'll just throw you a slide, next slide here. We want to do these things, and if you can throw that picture up there, of summer worship nights. And this is, I say this, and I really hesitated, because here's the thing, this isn't an event. This is hope. This isn't an announcement. This is more of a dream. Okay, so that's important to notice, is that when you have something like this, usually it's like we're promoting an event. We're not really promoting an event. We're talking about a dream. We're talking about a dream for hunger and thirst. And we thought, well, what if we could start creating some times where we get together that isn't just, it's hard to sometimes do that on a Sunday gathering. And so on Wednesday nights, on a few in the summer, you can see at the bottom, if you can read it, it's June 10th, June 24th, July 8th, July 29th. We're going to gather at 6:30, promptly at 6:30. And we're going to just get together and worship and pray. And we're going to connect together. And when I see this, I imagine a rich community. This isn't something that I sense, this is just going to be another time. Maybe you were a part of something we did a couple years ago called Wednesday Night Church. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be different. I imagine rich community. I imagine laughter and joy. I imagine meaningful and intimate times of worship. I imagine praying for one another and depending on the power of God. I even imagine our kids experiencing this. I have a kindergartner, and I'm going to have her in there. We're going to have pre-K childcare, but elementary kids, like, we need to put our kids in environments where they see us worshiping and they understand what it means to engage the power of God and the presence of God. And so they might not be ready, but they still need it, right? And so we're going to have that intentionally so with our kids involved in this. And so I imagine allowing his spirit to speak and us just listening. And so when I'm speaking about this, I'm not inviting you to an event. I'm hopefully casting a vision for you that says, do you need this? Do you need some more in your life? Do you need to engage in him more authentically and more genuinely in your life? This isn't going to do it, but I can tell you one thing that isn't going to do it, doing nothing. This is going to be a start and a hope that we can actually take steps and progress together as a community of God. And so it will be at the community house, which, by the way, I realize that place is small, but we're not going to have it much longer. So let's like spend the summer packing it out, celebrating all that God has done with it. So when we move to a new place, that we can say we ended that well, right? And so I mean that. I mean that genuinely. Like, that place has been a gift to us. It's been so good that God gave us that place. And I don't want it to, I don't want it to peter out at the end like, oh, we lost its purpose at the end. Let's like maximize what God's done by giving us that place. And I think by filling it up with people praising God is a good way to maximize it. And so that's what we want to do. And anyway, we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But the first one's just a couple weeks away, or not even 2 weeks away, June 10th. So let's see how it goes, right? I want to show you something. You guys see this? Grayson got this when he was born. The hospital gave us this, right? Yeah, the hospital gave us this little thing. And believe it or not, if you know Grayson, he wore it for like a day and then he outgrew it. I don't know, something like that. But anyway, he can't wear that anymore, obviously. And I'll show you something else. This is a little yellow dress. This was Emily's when she was like 4 or 5. And then Karis wore it, you know, when she outgrew it, Karis started wearing it. And then Karis outgrew it, and now Addie's wearing it. And we just buy one set of clothes for like a decade. And Grayson will be wearing it, and then, no. So Addie's wearing it now, but she will soon be outgrowing it. I'm pretty sure she's grown so fast. And here's the thing about these little things that I think about is that it would be silly for me to expect my kids to wear the same clothes they wore last summer, wouldn't it? I mean, it's just kind of silly to think. We expect our children to grow, and therefore articles of clothing are meant to be grown out of. And we would be foolish to think otherwise. And as a church, I think sometimes we got to remember we're not supposed to keep wearing the same clothes. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to mature. And when I talk about growth, I'm not necessarily talking about the size, although that may come. I'm talking about the maturation of who we are. Remember the second dream I put up there is that we would mature as a body of Christ. And I would expect that that means it's going to come with new things and new things to wear and new things to be and new things to experience. And I want to read a couple passages. The first one's out of Ephesians 4, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, starting in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, these particular verses that I just read, I'm going to keep reading in just a second. I want to pause on them. These are actually a really critical, central piece of scripture about what people would understand Christian doctrine, especially pertaining to the church, which is called ecclesiology. Ecclesiology is the theological study of the Christian church. Now, what I mean and why I tell you that is a lot of people understand when God calls people, he calls them and gifts them to be apostles, to be some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be teachers, and some to be pastors. Now, through those giftings that he gives to some people, that he calls to those positions in the church, if you will, he uses those people to do what? To equip the people in the body of Christ. Why does he do that? Verse 14. Because then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So Paul is writing here, and he says some really, really huge things. He says that the church will not only equip you, and that the church will become mature together, attaining the whole measure of Christ. Why? So we won't be tossed back and forth like little infants. We will grow, right? And this happens all the time. I have conversations with Christians and they tell me how difficult it is because someone told them a different opinion of what they feel like the Bible teaches. And they're like going, I don't know. I'm waffling on what I really believe. You ever been around that? Have you ever experienced that? And here's the thing. Politicians will sway us. Media will sway us. The people that you work with will sway you in understanding what is right from wrong. And here's what this says, though, that Paul is saying that the church, the body of Christ, not the church like this, me standing with a people looking at me, the church together, unified, that person with that person, and us coming together as community, us worshiping together like this, that church will be what matures you. It'll be what gets you past the place of being tossed back and forth. Working and growing together, every ligament. Next passage, just a little lengthy, but it's really good. Paul, again, writing about the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but it all has, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason that they would stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they are all one part, where would the body be? He is like overemphasizing his point, but it's so good. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Many of us probably read that. Maybe we've heard it. We get the metaphor. He goes on and on about basically comparing us to a body, and we get the fact that every body is made up of many parts, and if we are the body of Christ as the church, that means there's going to be many parts, some having a role as a hand or an ear or something, as he calls it, that seem less. He says they're not less. They're actually indispensable. So most of us get that, but I'm not sure we all believe it because many of us reduce our roles, which I said a few weeks ago, just merely sitting in a seat or attending a church or seeing just ourselves in a pretty simple task. And I've been saying, no, every one of us is more valuable to the body than just that. We just got to figure out what it is. We got to find our sweet spot, if you will. We have to help one another figure out our place in the body. Listen, it doesn't always have to mean that you're going to have some specific great task, but it means that we're going to own, if you will, and care and have concern for the body. I want to show you a few pictures, and I'm going to run through these rather quickly. This was a picture of our first, well, it wasn't our first, actually, because Stephen's leading worship, it looks like. This is one of our first core gatherings. I'll tell you when to change. Thanks. I'm just kidding. Anyway, that was at a place called the BCM. It's right on 23rd Street, and some of you can see yourselves in the back of your head. There you go. I see Khalil in his dreads. Where are those at, man? All right, go ahead. All right, this is our first serving event. It was actually in November 2012, and some of you are right there. There's Jessica right in the middle, Khalil in his dreads again. There's Jamie Stolp, good old Jamie. All right, we were at the Jesus House, by the way, downtown. Thank you. This is our first Christmas party, and they were the winners of our first Christmas party's ugly sweater contest, the Romine family. This is our core gathering again. This is like probably March 2013. This is the last Sunday of our core gathering. How many of you guys remember that were there? A few of us. We took this picture. This was our last. This was before we totally left and we were just here. All right. That's Ryan. He's painting at the community house. We just got the community house and we painted it gray. All right, going on. This is our first service in here. We like to take pictures from, I guess, behind the people. But yeah, that's our first service here. This is one of our first outreach events. We, of course, did an egg hunt before this, but this is our fall festival we had in the fall of 2013, right behind the community house. You can go on. This is our first women's event. Hillary's there showing, talking about beads of good, and it was at the community house. Yeah, first women's event. This is one of our first kids events. Jessica had this idea for like a Valentine's kind of fun party and let the parents go out and have a date and all that kind of stuff. All right. This is just not normal, Chris. This is Chris and Jeremy. I just thought it was fun. Okay. This is our first VBS last summer, and it was a great event. Really, really cool. Having that again this summer. This is our first junior high youth event. We went to, what's it called? One of those trampoline parks, and went and ate pizza. You know, so junior high. And, all right. This is not a first, but this was a picture I wanted to kind of end with here. This is a couple months ago at a Uptown 23rd cleanup day, and we just happened to be standing in front of our building. It was totally accident. And then there's three girls in the back cleaning the other side of the street, which I thought was great. They're with us too, though. And I think that's it, right? Yeah. So I just showed you a bunch of firsts, right? Those are a lot of our firsts, and there certainly are other firsts that I don't have pictures of, and there are more firsts to come. And there, we've kind of been going through a time where there's a lot of firsts, but they're not going to be as frequent, are they? They're not going to be as frequent. We're learning and growing, and those pictures tell a story of an unfolding sort of thing that God's doing with us. And I show you those pictures because partially since the beginning of this church, we've just trusted that God is going to bring the people that he wants to bring to build this church. We've never done a massive recruiting campaign. We've never been like super attractional. Let's send out 50,000, you know, mailers. And we've never done any of that stuff. And it's not because we couldn't. It's because we wanted to trust the Lord more than our own efforts. That doesn't mean we're not going to work hard. It just means that God's going to draw who he needs to draw. And he's been doing that, and we trust that he's going to do that moving forward. And I kind of wonder what the next 2 years of pictures will be, right? A lot of those pictures I took, so I hope there'll be a better photographer. God is stirring within many of us the sense for more. And I think a lot of times, you know, we have to know that not only does this church need you, but you need this church. And I say that really honestly. This church needs you, and you need to know that. But my hope and my expectation, the way the body of Christ works, you need this church just as much. Because though we are many, we are one. Romans 12:4-5. And then I got to wrap up. We got a couple more things to do that are good. For as in one body we have many members, and many members do not have all the same functions, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I want to do something today, and those of you guys that are helping me with this, I'm going to hand out, this is like totally classic high school, right? We're going to hand out a paper. We're going to pass it down the aisles, you know what I mean? If you get extras, hold it at the end. But I want to hand you a paper with a bunch of dreams on it. And you're going to get a list of things that are just ideas, maybe a spark that can create some fire. Sometimes people need a little bit of a shove to find their sweet spot. So I'm going to let you get those, and then I'm going to talk about it for just a moment. I don't know, this is a few dreams about being the body of Christ is really what this is about. And I don't know if, like I said, this is a little bit of, I don't even know if this is going to work, but we talk all the time about, man, what if people just started doing stuff and dreaming for the body of Christ in ways that aren't about what we do in this room. And that's kind of where this comes from. And I'm just going to do something. You guys are already looking at it, but I'm actually going to go through this really quick. So you guys don't have to look ahead. I'm about to just read them. And it's going to be super fast. It looks like a lot because it's two-sided. This is a two-sided piece of paper. But could you imagine this? Just imagine, all right? Here we go. What if we had people, leaders, when you see that first one, serving those in the leaders who will imagine an active ongoing ministry to serve people in our community, providing basic needs, love, and relationship. What if someone in this room felt like that was their part of the body? That's what God was calling them to do. Local missions, we need leaders who will help us grow in serving our city. What about Christmas outreach? Everybody always says, well, what are we doing for Christmas? I don't know. What are we doing? Body of Christ. Lead and create how we serve. Gotcha. Lead and create how we serve others through the Christmas season. Financial administration. Do you enjoy crunching numbers? Maybe you're really good at Excel. Call me. Video. You're not just good with a camera, but you're a boss in the editing room, right? Photography. Many would say you're skilled at the art of the photo. New visitor care. We need people who say, you know what? I just love connecting with people, and after Sunday, I'll take them to lunch. Great. We need people to do that because I eat a lot of lunches. I'm just kidding. Where am I? Okay, event organization. I've had people talk. You like organizing events. Well, guess what? We have them. We need you. Food. You like preparing and eating food. Well, we have food. Come, let us know. Prayer ministry. You're a prayer warrior. You want to pray for the people whenever they say have a request. You want to know what those requests are and lift others up. Maybe you want to take a step further and be prayer initiatives. I want to organize prayer gatherings or prayer walks. Maybe you want to disciple someone. You want to walk with someone that is a younger believer or somebody that wants to grow in their relationship with Christ. We need people that want to do that. Men's events, guys, maybe there's a guy in there that says, you know what? I'm passionate about that. I will help lead that. I'm not saying you have to go solo everything. You're not having to go pioneer everything, but you are. We do need people to do this, right? We need people that care. As the body of Christ, we're coming together. The same thing for women's. The women's has already started, but they need more people that are wanting to lead in that. Party people, here we go. So party people, organize social gatherings, right? Like we need people that just says, hey, I want to get people together. If it's a, you know, Super Bowl party, 4th of July party, I don't know. I just can do that. I like getting parties together. Well, we like that too. And we want to organize people. Uptown 23rd, we're a part of it. What if we had somebody in here that says, you know what, I want to get involved in this city. Well, here's a great way to do it. You can come with me. You can even be an OKC Community Church representative in the meetings, those sorts of things. They have meetings all the time. You can be a part of that. You don't just have to show up. You can help lead it. Love your neighbor cause. We've been talking about this from the beginning, but we need people that say, you know what, I'll help put a stake in the ground on how we are actually organizing and how we are initiating love your neighbor causes in our church. Moving on, right? We got local schools. What if we partner with local schools when around our church? Does somebody care about local schools? Maybe that's something you've done before. Maybe that's something you want to help us do. Maybe you have a particular art that you're really good at and you want to teach others about how to do it and use it as a ministry tool. Well, cool. Let's do it. An arts program. We've talked about that. What if we had an arts program? We're in an arts district in our city. Like, what if we were providing different cool things, even through our local partnerships with schools? These are just what-if ideas, right? This is just building a roller coaster, so to speak. What if we had teachers, or you are a teacher in this room, and you're not just teacher as a disciple, but you have life skills that you could give. Like, hey, I'm really good at this little certain thing, and I could do a 4-week class on it, or a 1-week class on it, or whatever. What if we had different things and people using their gifts and abilities and their knowledge to help us? Student ministry, this is a big one. We want to be students are where most people come to know Christ. We want to see people that care about student ministry and care about teenagers. College ministry, same thing. IT, do you understand that thing called the cloud? We need you. International missions, do you want to go on a mission trip? Well, let us know. Maybe a place like Haiti? Or somewhere else. But financial planning, maybe some of you are really good at that, Chris Boyd. And then I'm sure others as well. These last three are really actually pretty critical and pretty cool. But like when people have babies, like who's giving them meals? You know what I mean? Like do we have somebody in our church that's saying, hey, I'll help lead that charge to make sure we always take care of families. Make sure people that are having surgeries or people that are sick, that we're always caring for them. Guys, you guys understand, and nobody in this room expects me or my wife to do all of this, right? And I don't mean that you ever did expect it, but sometimes I feel the pressure that I'm supposed to do it all. And I'm just realizing, no, we're the body of Christ. I can't do all this. One person can't do all this. We need to do all this. Loving and serving people through things like funerals. Turn the page. I'm going to kind of skip this next two because these are things we're already doing, but I encourage you to read them. You can get involved in the things we're already doing. Going down in the middle, being the body of Christ. Get involved in other things that we do. There's a bunch of initiatives and ministries like Hope Chest there, Hope House OKC, which we haven't talked about yet, but we're going to this summer about the things they're doing. There's a bunch of things right there listed under other initiatives and ministries our church supports, not just through finances, but involvement and donations. Some of those you've heard of, some of those you haven't. At times, we'll share more about them. Our building, having a new building, will create new needs. We're going to need to have a parking team and a really good one. And so we need committed leaders, team members, the whole shebang, and all that kind of stuff. This is a big deal. Facility oversight and upkeep. Some of you are really good at fixing, tweaking, tinkering, caring, all that kind of stuff. You want to help us do that, like showing up every once in a while to say, hey, I'm going to help the building, make sure it stays in good shape. Event hosts. I can keep going, right? Kids ministry, projects for the new building. By the way, we will have a couple specific projects at the end of the renovation. We need carpenters and builders to do a few projects at the end, or if that's something you're really interested and good at, we want to know. And then, of course, artists. We have a cool dream of what if people in our church we had original pieces of art in our building, right? Like people, not just paintings and drawings, but also, maybe even other types of things. You know, like my mom, she does like stained glass and things like that could be really cool. So room to dream, really anything is possible. And here's what I'm saying to do with this is pray over it, think about it. Maybe you want to put a check next to one of these. Maybe you want to write something in. And I know we're about to go over time, but just breathe. It's going to be okay. It's only 5 minutes extra. 5 minutes of your life is going to be okay. But here we go. What if you turned something in here and said, hey, I'm willing to start finding my sweet spot. I want to move into something more. And you may already be serving, but maybe you need to adjust how you serve. And maybe you need to find a better spot for you that lets your gifts really come alive and your passions. So I don't know what to do with this necessarily. I struggled with once I share this, then what? I don't know. I just want us to mature as a body of believers. And I think a lot of that's going to take initiative by each and every one of us, right? I don't want to wear last year's clothes, if you know what I'm saying. We'd probably awkwardly rip the seams or something like that. I want us to grow. I want you to find your sweet spot. I want to help you take a risk. I want you to do something you thought you'd never do. You remember that thought from week one? I was putting it on the screen. The gospel will call you to do things you thought you'd never do. The gospel will lead you to love things you never knew you wanted to do. Perhaps there's a little bit of a spark today. Maybe there's a little flame that's been started that this needs to be fanned. Perhaps you're realizing a little bit more your value in the body of Christ. We are the church, and we got to understand that that means we're a living, breathing body that needs nourishment. That's why we should hunger and thirst for the presence of God. We're also, understand, we're like a child that's going to grow and mature in ways and in the ways we exist, interact, and serve. And we're no longer dreaming about our first service or our first VBS or even our first person to come to know Christ. That's all been done. We're growing. And we need to start growing with it by the way we dream and the way we see our value in the body.